We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we hear from Pastor Benjamin Gilmore in his series about fear. Benjamin is an equipped pastor at Gateway's South Lake campus and is the author of Fear No More, Fear God Evermore. Let's listen in.
Hey, I'm Benjamin Gilmore, and I'm so excited to have you back as we look at this series, Fear No More. And we've been unpacking fear. What is it? What misconceptions have we had? How does it affect our lives? What is the path to fear? And what is the path through fear? So we learn that the path of fear starts with hearing. Then we find ourselves at a decision point where we have to put faith in what we've heard. And then comes fear, and it's evidenced by obedience, and fear leads to worship. And we ended the last segment asking, why did God create fear? Well, yes, God wants to be worshiped, but worship leads to transformation. You know, all of us are worshipers. We all worship something. We're always looking for something to worship. We don't do it on purpose. I mean, I don't think anybody's woken up in the morning and said, you know, what should I worship today? It's just a part of the way we're wired. You know, I think about even sports fans. There's this line that's crossed where it goes from like admiration and excitement to actual worship, where they worship that team. And I think you can talk to a few fans and figure out the difference between the two, because the ones who worship, they might be a little bit crazy. But you know, we worship in all of our lives different things at different times. And I can tell you that back in 2008, I was pursuing after a professional career in soccer. And I was on a training run, and I always trained really hard, because this thing of soccer that I did, it wasn't something that I just wanted to do. I didn't want to just go professional. I felt like I was called to do this, to use professional soccer as a platform for ministry and making God famous. And I was on a long training run. I was about to go on a trip to South Africa to play and to spread the gospel. And I was running, and God, in the middle of my run, He spoke to me and He said, you've made my call on your life an idol in your life. And in that moment, I realized I was pursuing after the call on my life harder than I was pursuing after the God of my life. In that moment, I realized that I had an idol, that the thing that came from God's hand became the thing that I worshiped. And that's true in so many areas where we worship the created instead of the creator. And it's a dangerous thing. Worship leads to transformation. Psalm 115, verse 8 is speaking about idols, things that you worship, things that you express love to. Pastor Robert defines worship as love expressed. Idols are things that we worship other than, apart from God. In Psalm 115, verse 8, it says, those who make them idols are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. What you worship, you will be like. What you worship, you will become. It's interesting to me, it is very interesting to me, that our enemy, Satan, wants so desperately for us to fear him. I mean, think about it. Everywhere you look, Satan's this scary thing, and he works very hard to build up that image that we should fear him. And Satan has a large amount of motivation for this, because number one, when we fear him, we don't fear God, because you can't fear two things at the same time. You can't worship two things at the same time. There's this awesome quote from a book called Look and Live, and it says that there is an altar on your heart, and the thing that we worship, the idol, it cannot be removed. It can only be replaced. There's no such thing as not worshiping. You're worshiping something, and you can't have two things on the altar of your heart at the same time. In the same way, you can't fear two things at the same time. And so if Satan can get us to fear him, then we don't fear God. You miss out. You miss out. There are so many benefits of fearing God. So many benefits. I encourage you, do a study on your own time. Just do a simple Google search, verses about fearing God, and go through and read them. There are so many benefits and promises to those who fear God. So that's the first thing. When we fear Him, He knows we can't fear God and we miss out. The second thing is when we fear Him, when we fear Satan, oftentimes without realizing it, shockingly, we take the next step, worship. In Matthew 4, verse 9, Satan says to Jesus while He's in the wilderness being tempted, Satan says, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Satan desires to be worshiped. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14 tells us that Satan wanted to be like God. Wouldn't it be interesting if the very being who wanted to be worshiped the same as God also at the same time went around trying to get us fear Him? It's because what we fear is what we worship. So why, again, is this so important? Why is worship so important? Worship leads to transformation. And that transformation, depending upon what you fear, will lead to freedom or it will lead to bondage. Romans 12, 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Listen, do not be conformed. Be transformed. Both conforming and transforming are processes of change. You are changing every single day. You don't have a choice in this. You're changing. What you do have a choice in is what you'll change into. You will be changed more and more into the image of this world, or you'll be changed more and more into the image of God. What you worship will change you for the better or worse. You know, I see kind of an interesting example of this. I went years back, and I've been to a few, but one really stood out to me. I went to a worship event. It was a well-known worship band, and people were there to engage in worship. And I found myself sensing kind of a strange environment. And I asked God, what's going on? Why do I have this weird, this doesn't feel, what's going on? And I felt the Lord speak to me, and He said, "Some here are here to worship me, and some here are here to worship the band." And I realized in that moment, as I looked around, that there was excitement to be in God's presence, and there was excitement to see this band, and that some people were there for some of the wrong reasons. And as I looked around, I started to wonder about who was there for what reasons. And I saw people who were dressed the same as the worship leader. They did their hair the same as the worship leader. Everything was the same as the worship leader. They looked like the worship leader. I wondered if they sounded like the worship leader. And it just reminded me that what you worship, you become. So here it is. What you hear, you put faith in. What you put faith in determines what you fear. What you fear determines what you worship, and what you worship determines what you become. And you only have two choices. You will become free or bound. And all of that stems from what you stop to hear. Looking again at the enemy's strategy, he tries to get us to fear him, because if we do, we might just worship him. But it all starts with hearing. And just think about all of the voices that are flying at us all the time, telling us who we are, who we aren't, who God is, who God isn't, telling us about our friends and our family and how they're our enemies. It's an onslaught of voices trying to get us to hear the wrong thing, so that we'll fear the wrong thing, so that we will become the wrong thing. The enemy doesn't just want to rob you of fearing God so that he can be feared and he can be worshiped and so that you can miss out on blessings. But listen, if he can get you to become something other than the picture that God has created you to be, he is actually robbing the world of a picture of who God is. You see, you are made in God's image. You are a reflection of who he is that only you can bear. And without you bearing that image, the world will be robbed of a picture of who God is. And the enemy desires to get us to fear and to worship the wrong thing so that we will become the wrong thing, to rob the world of a piece of the picture of who God is. This is huge. This echoes through eternity. This echoes through legacy. This matters. So I want to ask you, what do you fear? If it isn't God, it will lead to bondage. Many of you listening, you might be in bondage and not even realize it. You've never paused long enough to say, is this the way life is supposed to be? Is this the way I'm always supposed to feel? Is this what relationships are supposed to look like? You've never paused to ask those questions. Others of you, those questions have been thrust upon you by your circumstances, and you would say, I'm in bondage and I don't know why. God created fear so that you could be free. God created fear so that you could live a full life. But it's on us to pause and to talk to God and hear what He says and believe what He says and obey what He says, because when we do, it is evidence that we fear Him. And then we will begin to worship Him, and then we will change and become more like His image and become more free. I love what John 8:32 says. It's so simple and so profound. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There's actually a principle here that if you don't know the truth, you're not going to get free. In a world of so much noise, it's really become difficult to recognize truth. So I'm actually going to talk for a second about truth, because this is important. Because if you don't know the truth, you'll never be free. So let me tell you something about truth. When we go through life and life hurts or things happen, facts are presented to us. And these facts, they're undeniable. We can't deny them. If I'm driving home and I get a flat tire, man, I hit a nail. Fact. I got a flat tire. Fact. I'm going to have to buy a new tire. Fact. I don't actually have money set aside for a new tire. Fact. I don't know where that money's going to come from. Fact. I have a lot of bills that are coming up. Fact. All these things are fact, and the enemy gives them to us and presents them and draws a conclusion for us that sounds like logic, and says, here's the truth. He'll say, look at all these facts. The truth is, you're not going to make it. The truth is, you're not good enough. The truth is, you're a failure. And because it makes sense to us, based upon those facts, we bite onto it and we accept it as truth. But let me tell you something. That's not truth. I'm reminded of a courtroom. We go to a courtroom and we have a witness, and they say to the witness, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And the person says, I do. That's kind of a farce. If one person could tell us the truth, that would be the only person we need to talk to. The fact of the matter is that when they go to that person, what they're really saying is, do you promise to give an honest account of the facts as you've observed them? And they say, yes, I'll do that. And the next person, do you promise to give an honest account of the facts as you've observed them? And they say that person after person until they have enough facts observed that the judge can draw a conclusion and call it truth, guilty or non-guilty. Let me tell you something. In order to know the truth, you have to see and observe all facts inside and outside the universe, past, present, and future, in order to draw the correct conclusion. And only one person has been able to see all facts, past, present, and future, inside and outside of the universe, and draw a conclusion, and that person is God. In fact, so much so, he says, I am the truth. So going back to John 8:32, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you can't find the truth, if you don't know truth, you won't be free. If you can't recognize truth, you won't find it, you won't know it. But listen to this. Proverbs 1:7 says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. If you don't fear the Lord, you will not even be able to begin the path to knowledge. You can't even start to get to truth, and you will never find freedom. What you fear will set you free, or it will put you in bondage. It's worth pausing today and asking God, do I know the truth? What have I been worshiping? What do I fear? If you want to go deeper, you can find my book, Fear No More, on Amazon, or you can visit my website, benjamingilmore.org.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.